Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers that are here. I hope you enjoyed the video. I know that some of the mothers in the room get to be highlighted because it's your kid, and these are our kids, and so, and a lady in our congregation as well. Julie's not a kid anymore. Well, some might say you're a little kid at heart, but happy Mother's Day to you. If you are a lady, I am so thankful for you. And I hope you know of how wonderful you are. And I know some of you ladies are able to be mothers and some of you are not. But all of you females, if you're a lady in the room on the way out, you need to grab a carnation. It's not much, but it is a carnation. And just want to celebrate you being a lady. God, in his infinite wisdom, allowed us to be created male and female. And some of you were privileged to be made female, and how wonderful that is. It was Anna Jarvis, actually, in 1908, who gave a single carnation to her mother, and that's why we're giving you a carnation today in honor of Mother's Day. And so happy Mother's Day to you. I know that Mother's Day can be tough for some of you. I won't give names, but there was only two moms on the platform, and one of the mothers on the platform mentioned to us before the service, she said, about 3 o'clock in the morning, like just a couple hours ago, after being up with the child that she was up with for like the fourth time, she said, go to sleep, it's Mother's Day, and don't get up again. And so, moms, you identify with that. I know that there are some single mothers in our congregation. And if you've ever been a single mom or a single dad, it's like, how in the world do you do everything? Last several weeks, maybe for you, if you have kids in the home, have just been kind of crazy. I mean, school is ending, there's sports going on. If you don't have any kids in the home, then you're like, oh, what's that look like exactly? But single moms, thank you for what you do. If you're a divorced mom, I know that there are feelings that come upon you of aloneness and rejection and difficulty. There are some ladies in the room who have not been able to have children, and I know that Mother's Day can be kind of a tough day. Because you think back, oh, I missed out on some of those things, but God has something working in your lives. There are some ladies in the room who you've lost your mother, and maybe it's been in the last year where you've lost your mother, and I don't know the relationship that each of you have with your mom, but it starts early on, and so sometimes Mother's Day is tough because you're like, man, I wish I could just call my mom and just wish her a happy Mother's Day, but she's passed on. There's some of you that if you've lost your mother and you've had a fractured relationship with your mom, it's a difficult day. I hope that this Mother's Day, despite all of the things going on, will be a time of hope for each of you as ladies. Some of you mothers in the room have lost a child, and those are difficult days. I can't even begin to understand what that is. And it'd be a tough day. And so I just pray that God can be a help and a healer today. And I believe of women who get to be moms, their number one job is to be a mom. Despite the day and age and careers are valued and women can have careers. But I believe that if you're a female and you have a child, your number one occupation is to be a mom. Because here's the truth, a career is gonna come and go, but your children will always be your children until the day that you pass on to eternal life. Moms, some of you are trying to emulate your mother and you feel like you fall short of that. You be the best mom that you can be. don't try to emulate somebody else. There are some things that you can get. You can get ideas, but don't measure yourself. You're specifically created as a female and as a mom because of how God has created you. Moms, you are very important to us. Without our moms, we don't have life. Some of our mothers have passed on. Others are still with us. And I think that most of us have a good relationship with our mother, and this is why. I think our moms continue to hold out hope for us. Some of us in this room are dads and we're men and we get kind of, I don't know, persnickety at times. Some of us men, we draw the line. But there's something about you moms. You just continue to say, you know what? Through spite of all of it, I'm going to continue to love you. And so thank you for being a mom. I'm thankful for my mom. And so happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. There was a 4- and a 6-year-old that presented their mom with a house plant. They had used their own money. And if you remember those days, or if you're in those days, and kids use their own money when they're 4 and 6, it means something to you. And she was thrilled. But the older of them said with a sad face, "There was a bouquet that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, 'Rest in peace.' And we thought it would be just perfect since you are always asking for a little peace so that you can rest." If you get one of those this week, today, know that it's with good intent from your children. Today, I'm going to, as many of you know, I'm preaching through John. And if you look in John chapter 1, you might be saying, what in the world is he going to do with John chapter 1, starting in verse 14, to talk to mothers today? Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to go to John chapter 19. So I'm going to stay in the book of John, and I'm going to fast forward way far in advance to John chapter 19. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them. There's an important scene, an event that I think takes place. And many times on Mother's Day, I talk to moms, and I don't give advice because there's no reason for me to try to give advice to a mom, because then if I get home, I get in trouble, and that's probably not a good thing. I don't want to get in trouble at home. That's not a good place to get in trouble. So, not that Manel would ever say anything. Yeah. I don't know why you need to say that, Mr. Butcher. That's not very kind. He said, "I'm always in trouble." Have you heard about the preacher that he went into his closet one day? Maybe you've heard this before. He went in the closet one day and he saw that there was a carton of eggs in his closet. And this is after many years, and he had never noticed this. And he said, "Well, wow, there's a carton of eggs. Well, why is there a carton of eggs in my closet?" So he went and asked his wife, "Why is there a carton of eggs in the closet?" And she said, "Well, I have been keeping eggs. I put an egg in the carton for every bad sermon that you've preached." He was quite pleased because it was one of those bigger boxes of when it was 18 eggs and there was only 3 eggs in it. He's like, "Wow, it's pretty good. I've only preached 3 bad sermons." And he said, "Now there was some money in that carton as well. What was that money for?" She said, rather slyly, sheepishly, she said, "Well, whenever I get 18, I go and sell those. And that's all the money I've made throughout the years." Anyway. Hopefully this is a good sermon today. I don't want to get an egg in the carton. Many times I talk to moms, but I want to turn it around today. I want to turn it around for us. I want to turn it around to you and say, how did Jesus love his mom? And how should we love our mothers? Now, as I look around the congregation, and as I was talking with the praise team before, there's a couple of moms from the praise team that have already passed on. And as I look around the room, some of your mothers have already passed on. So you're like, how am I going to honor my mother and she's not here? But I think the scripture tells us to honor your father and your mother. And I think that even in your mother's passing, you should honor your mother. And so I want to look into the scripture of the day, and I want us to see what Jesus did to honor his mom. Now, I want to set the scripture up first, because we just kind of come into it in John chapter 19, and we're going to jump in verse 25. And so you've got to look through chapter 19 first to kind of see what's happening. Jesus is being delivered to be crucified in verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. Now, that's not a very good place to be. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, and they came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Goes on, Pilate sought to release him, but it couldn't do it, and so they took Jesus, verse 17, and they took him to the place of the skull called Golgotha. And there it says that they crucified him. They divided the garments up between them, and then we find him right here in verse 25. If you join me in John chapter 19, verse 25, it's on the Bible in front of you in Iraq if you want to follow on there on page 905. Here's what it says. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. As I looked at this passage and I was thinking, what could we grab from this? One of the first questions I had was, did Jesus need his mother? Did Jesus need his mother? One said no. Thank you, Leah. That is actually true. Jesus could have come in some other way. He really could have. We could say yes, Jesus needed his mother, because who would have birthed them? And he had to be birthed in order for him to be a true sacrifice. Who would have raised Jesus? Who would have been there for him? He could have come in another way. We're not sure how, but he could have. But he had his mother. The first friend a child has is his mom. His mom taught him many things. His father helped out with many of these things, but it seems that mothers teach a lot of stuff. I know there are several of you men in the room that if you're a dad or you've been a dad, you helped out with a number of things, whether it be feeding or changing diapers or all those things that dads can do. But there's only so much that a guy can do and also do now. Sometimes it deals with a child's illness, and I don't know how you've dealt with this, but there's just sometimes when I'm just not sure what to do as a dad, and I'm just like, "All right, dear, you do it," because I'm not sure what to do at this point in time. And then somehow something clicks in her brain. I don't know how she knows all this, but she does. And then the mom comes out and says, "Well, let's just do this." "Well, that sounds like a great idea. Let's just do that." There's something about a mom that comes alongside of a little child. One of the rabbis of old said this: God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. This shows how sacred was the Jewish thought of the mother's work for her child. I want you to think about this thought for just a moment. I don't have this all fleshed out in my mind, but I want you to think about this, and it's a great theological discussion you can have over lunch if you want. When Jesus was born and he was being raised, who taught him about God? True. His mom taught him about God. Think about this for just a moment. Mary had the awesome opportunity to talk to Jesus about God. "Let me tell you about Yahweh, Jesus." And when Jesus couldn't talk, he probably couldn't respond and say, "Yeah, Mama, I got this one. I know about Yahweh. Let me tell you about Yahweh." He didn't do that. He probably never said anything like that. When they went to the temple, he was listening to his mom and his dad teach him about God. I mean, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? When you think about it in that way, that Jesus was being taught by Mary. Mary taught Jesus, "Now I lay me down to sleep." She probably didn't teach him that prayer, But think about that. Mary taught Jesus how to pray. Interesting thought. The text says that she pondered all these things in her heart, and oh, what she pondered, what you as a mom ponder. We don't have a lot of interaction from the scriptures of Jesus with his mom. Let me give you a couple of them that we just know about. One of those was in Jerusalem, and they all went to Jerusalem, and then they all left, and then they figured out, oh, where is Jesus? Where is he at? And so they decided they need to go back to Jerusalem to find Jesus, and there he was in the temple. He's like, well, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, sorry about that, Jesus. And so they went on. Another one is his mother showed up in one of the places in Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus is talking to some people, and so the people are like, hey, your mom's outside. And Jesus said, and they say, well, here's your mother and brothers and your sisters. And I don't think that he was disregarding his mother and brothers, but he's like, here are my mother and brothers and sisters. Another event that happens in John chapter 2 that we'll look at in a few weeks down the road here. His mother was present at the wedding in Galilee. In John chapter 2, there's a wedding feast. And they had run out of wine. And Mary goes to Jesus and says, you take care of this. And Jesus says, hey, my time hasn't come yet. And then Mary says, do whatever he says to do. you just do what he says to do. He'll tell you what to do. And Mary knew something. And that was the first miracle. And from there, things changed. Jesus had a relationship with his mom. But then let's fast forward to where he's at now. Here's the second point I want you to see. He gave his mom away. This isn't in our culture at all. I mean, we give a bride away. We give used furniture away. We take our used clothes down to that place. What's the place that we were? Something somewhere about upon a child. So once upon a child, some of you take your used clothes down there. If you don't like your stuff, you don't want to get anything out of your stuff, you take it to Salvation Army and say, somebody else, we don't give moms away. And here's Jesus giving his mom away. But what is he really saying? He is saying that he wants to watch out for his mother. That's a great question for us. Do we watch out for our moms? Do we take care of them? Only when I'm thinking through the scripture, there were only two individuals that Jesus talked to on the cross. And that was to John, and that was to his mom. I know that some of you have a great relationship with your mom, and there's no challenges. Be blessed with that. This doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes there are some moms that are hardened. Sometimes there are moms that are pretty crabby. Some of the times there are moms that are demanding or moving or mom that doesn't understand. These moms can be tough, and that's if you have a good relationship, be thankful, give praise. Some have had challenging relationships with a mom. Sometimes the kids are just dumb choices. We make dumb choices, and mom says, don't do that. Some of us have treated our moms poorly. And I encourage you, if you're within the sound of my voice, if you're treating or you've treated your mom poorly, stop. That's not what Jesus would want you to do. In this time of need, in this time of difficulty, he said, Mom, I want to take care of you. How are we doing in taking care of our mothers? Are we treating them with respect? Are we providing their needs? Are we ministering and helping them with their physical aspects? Take care of our moms. Some of you are doing this very, very well. You're doing as Jesus examined or explained for us. He's saying, hey, I want to give my mom away to somebody that's going to take care of my mom because I'm not going to be here much longer. And if you can't be there for your mom, can you find someone to help? And the third thing I want you to see is he assumed major responsibility on his friend John. Well, now, what does this mean in that culture? I want you to understand what it means in this culture. See, women were not viewed very highly. In our day and age, women, most women, can probably get a job. But I'm not sure if that would happen in that day and age. We read about a similar situation in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. There's a dispute that rose up, and there was a complaint by the Grecian Jews. Do you know why? because the widows were being neglected in their daily distribution. They're like, we got to do something about this. Now, younger widows were expected or believed that maybe they could remarry, but those who are older need to be taken care of. And so in the scene of Jesus on the cross, he's like, I'm concerned for my mom. And so in his pain, in his agony, in the things that are going on the cross, he has the right mind to say, I need to watch over my mom. I need to take care of my mom. So he gave Mary to John. Think of John and the responsibility upon his shoulders at that point in time. Some of you have been in this spot. Some of you have been in a place where someone has been close to death, and they come right up next to you and they say, come here, I want to tell you something. They whisper and then they say, when I pass on, would you make sure that you... And some of those moments can be very critical because you look at them and you think, how am I going to fulfill that? Or some of those you've been like, yep, I will do that. There was no whispering that Jesus gave to John. He pretty much said, take care of my mom. Those can be tense moments when you're at that place. And sometimes you don't think it's that big of a deal. By the way, I just want to say this. Just the way that John, I think, took care of his mother, of Jesus' mother, we don't know exactly, but we know that he took her to his own home. If you promise something to your mother somewhere along the way, do it. Fulfill that promise that you made. Maybe your mom's been long gone, and she said, son, daughter, fulfill that promise. I wondered about the text for a little bit. I wondered, did Jesus ever talk to John before this? Hey, when I get to the end here, I want you to take care of my mom. Will you make sure you take care of her? Because I'm not going to be here. We don't see that in the text. Whatever happened here, John took her to his own home. This means taking care of her. Now, you got to think about this a little bit. How old was Mary at this point in time? Some people believe that Mary was probably about 16 or so when she was pregnant. And so if you add 33 years of how long Jesus lived, she was about 49. And you think, wow, 49, well, who needs to be taken care of at age 49? But John assumed that responsibility and took care of her. Let me say this, as a culture, sometimes we don't do a very good job of taking care of our older people, taking care of our mothers, taking care of our grandmothers, taking care of our fathers, taking care of our grandfathers. Jesus gives us an example. So, practically speaking, how should we take care of our moms? Let me share with you a story. I have a mother, and my grandmother passed away not so long ago. She lived in Texas. And her name was Virginia Wybrew. That was quite a mouthful for us as kids. And so because she lived in Texas, we called her Grandma Texas. That's what we called her. Obviously, she wasn't the grandma of all Texas, but she was our grandma and she lived in Texas. So we called her Grandma Texas. That's what I always called her, Grandma Texas. I was never able to be around my grandma. I was never able to take care of my grandma. Towards the end of her life, I made several trips down to just sit with her. She had Alzheimer's, and she would tell me the same thing pretty much time and time and time again. And so in my limited time that I was there, that my family graciously let me go down and see her, I just sat with her. And the whole family was able to be with her several months before she passed. And I wasn't able to take care of her, and I was so thankful for those people in that care facility that were able to take care of her. And so here's a way that you can take care of your mom. If your mom is not around you, take care of another mom on the street. There's some other moms that are around you that you can take care of them and trust that somebody else is helping take care of your mom. You can pray for a mom around you. If there's a mom that's around you and you're like, how can I help? Pray for them. There are some moms that are in the room that hear me in this are stressed. Pray for a mom that's around you. You could take care of a sister or an aunt or some kind of a blood relation. A mother never forsakes her child. Mary is not the only mother who had followed a son to a cross, but here we have her following her son to the cross. John is the only recorded apostle at the cross. And where were Jesus' earthly brothers? We're not sure. And so he didn't even say to his earthly brothers, take care of mom. He finds John, he says, take care of my mom. There, if you read in verse 25, there were four ladies and John that are recorded standing near the cross. And who were these ladies? Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, and for Mother Croft references in Mark and Matthew, we see that it's Salome was the other lady. And it's significant because Salome was the mother who came and said, hey, can my son sit at the right and left hand of you? And he actually rebuked her in that. And he said, well, hey, we can't do that. And yet he still showed her love and she showed up. This Mary, wife of Clopas, we're not sure of any of who she is, but Mary Magdalene, if you remember, Jesus had driven seven spirits from her. It's interesting though, I didn't read this, but if you turn the page or you go to the next scripture, here's what it says. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. And then if you see on down there in verse 30, he says, it is finished. What a neat picture. I mean, he's dying on the cross for all of mankind, and yet he stops and he says, I need to watch over my mom. I need to take care of my mom. Knowing all that was now finished, he took care of that. Jesus shows an awesome picture of what I want us to catch today. Jesus was in pain. He was in agony. He was hurting. He was close to death. And yet he had the wherewithal and a sense to look after his mother. He realized that there was going to be some painful days ahead, and so he wanted to provide for her, and so he did what the scripture says, honor your father and your mother. Now some are saying, well, what about his dad? There are some who would think that at this point in time his dad was already dead. And don't miss that and think, well, what was he doing for his dad? Because he was doing something for his mom. And I think this connection with his earthly mom shows us a deep love and concern with the lady whom had given him birth. And so shouldn't we. So here is my Mother's Day message boiled down. Be like Jesus. Honor your mom. If your mom has passed on, you continue to honor her. Don't talk bad about your mom. Sometimes we do that. We can very easily, well, let me tell you about my mom. Honor your mom. Honor your mom even in her passing. If your mom is still around, honor her. And don't just do it today. Don't just do it, oh, well, it's Mother's Day, so I got to honor you today, Mom. I'm sorry. Be like Jesus and saying, I've got to help my mom because she has given me birth. If you're the oldest lady in the room and you can't find somebody else older than you that's a mom, then receive all that honor that is given to you as a mom and bless others. I encourage us all today, honor your mother. Would you stand with me today as we close in prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this awesome understanding of who Jesus was, honoring Mary. Thank you for Mary. Thank you for each of our moms that have given us birth. And I just pray, God, for each of us in this room that we would honor our mom, whether they have gone or whether they're still around. Help us to be representatives of that. God, would you enable each one of us, if there is any challenges with our mom, that we would go and we would make that right. Even if we think that we're in the right, help us to make a good relationship with our mom happen. So Lord, go before us today. I pray that you would, again, bless all the mothers in the room. Bless all the moms that are represented within the room that have given us birth. And may we do as the word of God has said, and honor our mothers. God, I pray that you would go before each of us today, each of us this week, and may we honor you with everything that we say and do. We love you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming today. Have a wonderful day.